You know, one of the challenges I faced as a pastor, one of the things that troubled me was that I would have to do counseling. And counseling people is not my strength. But I studied on it, I learned on it, and I have counseled many different types of troubled people. I talked to alcoholics, angry people, people who were severely depressed, some people who were distraught over things that were happening. I've dealt with some serious issues like schizophrenia, bipolar, people who are demonized, people who were suicidal. I talked with a lot of troubled people, serious issues. And I wish I could say I helped them all, but I did not. But I did learn that they all share a common problem that, in fact, we all share that keeps them from finding the hope and healing that will set them free. That common problem is that they will not accept the truth. They will not accept the truth about their situation, what is happening, and because they won't accept the truth, they remain in their misery and their pain. God does not want you to live that way. Maybe you know people at work or at home, maybe you're troubled right now, and it's because you know you will not accept the truth. Or the people you know in your family or at work or at school who are hurting, you know that they will not accept the truth. Well, Jesus says, I don't want you to live that way. And in John 8:31, it says this, to the people who have believed him, Jesus said, if you hold to my teaching, you are really my disciples, then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. The truth will set you free. See, the secret to personal change is not a pill, a program, or a process. It's not therapy or a book or a seminar. It is not positive thinking or psychology. Those things may help you, but it doesn't set you free. Change requires learning the truth. You have to know and face the truth about yourself, about what you are and who you are, the truth about God, the truth about your relationships in order to be set free. So we look in our sermon outline at our first point. The question is, what is truth? I mean, what is truth? There are 3,000 religions in the world today. Which one is truth? Look at this picture in this slide. You know, the Kilauea volcano is erupting. It has fissures. People are running for their lives. It's burning everything in sight. And I listen to the news reports, and many people who live there, especially the native Hawaiians, say, well, it's doing it because the goddess Pele lives in the volcano, and she is angry because the people have encroached on the sacred lands. Well, do you believe that truth? If you believe that truth, what are you supposed to do? You're supposed to take your oldest child and throw him into the volcano as a sacrifice. If that is the truth. We laugh at it, but if you really believe it, you should live that truth. Now, don't go throw your oldest child in the volcano. There are 7 billion people in the world. So that means there are 7 billion opinions in the world. Which one is true? Which one is truth? What truth is it that will change my life for the better? Well, the first truth we see is it is God's Word. The truth that I'm talking about today that will change your life is the Word of God. The Bible is like a roadmap. It shows you where you're supposed to walk and where you're supposed to go. It shows you how to stay on the path. And when you get off the path, the Bible will tell you how to get on the path that leads to God. God's Word is our user manual. It instructs us and tells us how to live, how to operate according to our Creator's design. And why is the world suffering? Because the world rejects the truth. It rejects its user manual. And because of it, we are suffering and fighting and hurting each other. John 17:17. Sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth. When Jesus said this, he was talking about the Old Testament. Your word is truth. We can only be cleansed of our pain and problems by God when we use his word. Not by a self-help book, not by professional counseling, because they do not focus on the sin that is the source of all your problems. The biggest problem is what? Pride. The root of all our problems. I don't care if you're arrogant and angry or if you're depressed and discouraged. Pride is the main sin that causes our problems. Psalm 19:7. The law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul. The statutes of the Lord are trustworthy, making wise the simple. I love Psalm 119. I just read through it recently. It is the longest chapter in the book, in the Bible. It goes on for like 180 verses, and it's because a psalmist loves God's Word. He loves it so much that he wrote this psalm to expound his love and commitment to it. See, life is just too complicated today. And it's because we make our life more complicated than it needs to be. The Scripture gives us a truth about how to live and how to walk with God. The truth about God. The truth about ourselves. The truth about the world we live in. It is perfect and trustworthy. It will make our lives so much simpler if we just obey it. But when we ignore it, we make our lives more complicated. The truth will set you free. The second truth, in a different way to look at it, is it is Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the truth. John 14:6, Jesus answered, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." Jesus said, "I am." I am the truth. He didn't say, "I have the truth," or "I know the truth," or "I'll point you towards the truth." He said, "I am the truth." Jesus is saying, "I embody the entire Word of God in His person." He is the truth because Jesus is God. See, if all those 3,000 religions lead to God in heaven, you just pick one and be a good person, that will lead you to heaven, well then Jesus would have never had to die that death on that cross. He would never had to suffer. But if sin has a price, if the wages of sin is death, then Jesus is the only way to heaven because He died for our sins. He rose from the dead. That's why the Scripture says we must call on the name of Jesus in order to be saved. But see, we have a problem. Go to number two on our outline. Behind every self-defeating act is a lie you believe. Why do we reject the truth? Because we believe a lie. We believe lies that we tell ourselves or people tell us. If you're deeply in debt right now, it's because you believed some lie. You thought, "I can just keep charging things forever and get away with it. There's no consequence. I can take out all the loans I want. I can buy a $70,000 car and put it over 10-year financing. I can handle it." That's a lie. If you're addicted to porn, it's because you believed a lie, that you can peek at it and have fun and have no consequences. Really? Now you're addicted to it. Every self-defeating act begins with a lie you believe. John 8:44. "You belong to your father, the devil, and you want to carry out your father's desire. He was a murderer from the beginning, not holding to the truth. For there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks his native tongue, his native language. For he is a liar and the father of lies. Yet because I tell the truth, you do not believe me." The people were struggling because they would not believe Jesus, but they followed lies. Satan's greatest weapon is a lie. Sometimes they're just bold-faced, plain lies. But most of the times, the lies the demons tell and Satan tells them, lies they tell, are they compromise God's Word? Or they corrupt a part of it? And so he tricks us into believing his version of the truth. He tricks you into sinning. Now, as you know, my brother and I and my father, we love to fish. And you know what fishing really is? It is tricking fish to bite your lure. Right? We're just tricking them to impulsively bite it. And it's interesting because if you were to sit with me for an hour, I will cast 30, 40, 60 times in an hour. I might just cast and reel, cast and reel and cast. People are like, "Why are you doing that? Seems like a waste of time." Because in one of that 60 minutes that I fish, once or twice when I cast, a fish will bite it. Right? That's like one out of 60. You know, that's like a lot of work. But that's fishing. You know, when Satan tempts us, he constantly tempts us. And he tempts us with his lies. And he tempts us over and over again. But Satan knows, and we would say, no, Satan. What's this? You know, Satan knows that we only have to give in once. We only have to bite once, and then he reels us in. Satan tells us lies. The world tells us lies. We tell ourselves lies. And we believe them, and because we believe them, we don't know the truth. So there's three ways that we kind of tell ourselves lies. Three ways that, because we're sinful and selfish, we tell ourselves and deceive ourselves with these lies. The first thing is your thinking becomes warped. Sometimes we allow our thinking to get corrupted and warped. You know, I was, last year, during my sabbatical, I built this beautiful redwood gate for my daughter, and I had to go pick boards. And when you pick a board, you just don't look at it like this. You turn it on its side, look down its spine, and see if it is straight. Because if it is warped like one of these, your gate will be twisted. It won't be straight. It won't be in alignment. The warped boards throw off the whole design. And see, when our thinking is warped by feelings and fears and frustrations and failures, oftentimes it allows our thinking to be corrupted. And our warped perspective becomes our new truth. It's not in alignment with God's Word. It's not pointed in the right direction because there's just a little twist that leads us away from God's truth. How does this happen? It happens when we believe lies. We believe lies that we tell ourselves. How many of you have ever overthought what a person said about you? Or you walked by a person, or they at work, they looked at you in a funny way, you go back to your desk, oh, what are they thinking about me? What are they doing? You know, your spouse or your kids, you're not quite sure that they are, you're wondering what they're saying. Because you overthink it, you create a whole scenario that this person must not like me. Instead, you know, we should talk to them, clear up the air, make sure that we understand what they're thinking and get right with them. But because we don't, we warp our perspective. We say something like this, everyone hates me. That's a illogical lie. I don't have a problem. There's nothing wrong with me. Well, that's just denial. We're lying to ourselves. Over time, we develop all sorts of phobias and fears that control us because our thinking becomes warped. What warped thinking is bothering you today? What's controlling you today? The second way we lie to ourselves is your feelings confirm the lies. I have yet to send an emoji to anybody. I have never yet, because I never see the reason, but maybe today I'll go home and send you all an emoji about how I felt about today's sermon and how I thought you responded. Maybe you're like disappointed or confused or happy, you know. Maybe one of those. You know, most people determine the truth by how they feel. If you feel good, the truth must be right. If you feel bad, then everything's all messed up. We get emotional. When we get emotional, we get confused and we get conflicted. We don't know what to do. And sometimes when we're trying to think how a person is relating to us and we don't think they like us anymore, they didn't include us in a party or an invitation, we get hurt inside. And when we hurt inside, it only confirms what we were thinking. The pain is so great that the lie must be real and true. I must be a loser. No one loves me anymore. You see how it works? Is that happening in your life? Is that happening in your children's lives or in the people around you? I once counseled a man who was in love with a married woman. And he told me he was. And he said, I know God wants us to be together because we love each other. And I'm usually not that straightforward. I said, that's a lie. That's a lie. God would not go against His Word and give you a blessing to pursue that relationship. You're just trying to justify your behavior because by saying it's because of love. And if it's because of love, it must be okay. So he did not want to talk to me anymore, and he left. Never saw him again. Because I would not support his version of the truth. I wouldn't give my blessing. I wouldn't give my approval. I'm like, why? I was shocked. No one's ever said something like to me like that before. But his feelings confirmed the lies he wanted to believe. See, Satan loves to manipulate our feelings and emotion. He knows that he can control us by pushing our buttons to make us feel this way or that to give up. You know, I give Alan credit to go to China to share the gospel and Monica to go to Vietnam because our fears can keep us from going. Satan wants to be afraid to talk to our neighbors or our friends about the gospel. So don't let your feelings lie to you. Have faith in God. What feelings are controlling you and troubling you today. They keep you from enjoying life and glorifying God. Now, the third thing we see is your behavior is driven by desires. Your desires just compel you to think of reasons and excuses to do what you want and lie to yourselves. They say there are three reasons, reading some article, three reasons a person would kill. Why would a person take a life? Why would these young men, these teenagers, brood for months and get upset and worked up and then go to a school and plan a killing and kill people? They say people kill for one of three reasons or a combination of these three. Greed, you know, they want money, they're going to steal from someone. Power, they want to exercise their power over somebody, or they're going to bully someone, or sometimes you get bullied and you lash back. Or lust, you know, one of the oldest reasons we kill, right? And the last school shooting in Texas, it revealed that the shooter felt bullied and his affection for a girl was rejected. So we see power and lust. And so oftentimes we lie to ourselves to get what we want. We want what we want. We tell ourselves we deserve it. We make up all sorts of lies to convince us that it's right. Then we run around and talk to people and try to find someone who agrees with us. Our thinking becomes warped. Our feelings confirm the truth, and we want what we want. Are you lying to yourself today about your problem or your pain? You know, you can get right. You can change your life with the truth of God. But the problem is our sinful nature does not want to admit what is wrong in our lives. We remain in that self-imposed prison. It's a self-imposed prison. These emotions and thinking and feeling and desires, we go into a prison cell, we close the door behind us, and we sit there because we can't do anything. And what's funny is that prison cell door is not locked. We can leave any time we want to. Guess what? God will let you wallow in your sin until you're sick and tired of being sick and tired. Until you're ready to make a change. Until you're ready to accept the truth and embrace the truth and take steps to change your life. That's why you need that come to your senses moment. That's why you need a reality check for that light to come on. A come to Jesus moment where you realize you are wrong and God is right and you want to take a step to get right with God, get right with yourself. But see, it takes time. You got into that situation over time. You got into debt. Not because you one day you hit the wrong button on your radio and you're suddenly in debt, you know, $100,000. No, you got into debt years, months, over time. You got into that deep sin, because that habit, because over time. And it takes time to get out of it, but you can. I will help you. We will help you. We've helped other people find freedom. It takes time going through a process to discover and embrace the truth. I can't just pray for you and set you free. You have to choose to step out of that cage with the love of Christ, with the power of Christ. You need to come in and sit with me or a counselor. Go through a process that examines your life with the Scriptures and how to make adjustments to be truly free. There's no quick solution, but Jesus is the answer. So you need to stop pretending you don't have a problem. You need to stop pretending you don't have a problem with the people at work or the people at school or with your marriage or with your kids. You need to stop pretending and admit the truth and that you need God's help in your life. So what do we do about it? Number three says we need the truth in our lives. We need the truth about God. But the problem is the truth will hurt before the truth will heal you. You can just write both those in your feelings. Jesus said the truth will set you free. But first, it makes you miserable. You know, it makes you miserable when you first hear the truth because you're living in sin. And as long as you deny it, it'll make you more miserable. The moment you are honest with the truth about yourself and everything else, two things happen. The truth hurts and the truth heals. The truth must hurt before it can heal. And this is why we don't want to do it. We know it's going to hurt. Christian author Frederick Buchner said the gospel is bad news before it's good news. Right? It's bad news. You're a sinner. It's good news. You can be saved. But until we grasp that that the truth that we're sinners, we can't grasp the truth that we're saved. The Bible is offensive to those that hear the truth. It hurts our pride. We're not the center of the universe after all. It's embarrassing because it exposes our sins. I might have to admit my sins to the person I love. I might have to confess my sin to the pastor. It's embarrassing. John 16:7. I tell you the truth. It is for your good that I am going away. Unless I go away, the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. When he comes, he will convict the world of guilt in regard to sin and righteousness and judgment. You know, the reason we become a Christian is because at first the Holy Spirit convicts us of our sins and we feel bad. We hurt because of our guilt. The Bible says the Bible hurts our feelings because he calls us sinful, guilty, and corrupt. That's the kind of news you don't exactly shout from the mountaintops. You don't run out the door and say, I'm sinful, guilty, and corrupt. No, we run out and say, we're saved. But there's no healing unless it hurts first. Because there's going to be embarrassment. There's going to be shame and guilt and hurt. Hi, my name is Terry. I am a sinner. That's why in AA and Alcoholics Anonymous, you know, I'm Bob and I'm addicted to gambling, or I'm addicted to porn, or I'm addicted to, you know, all these habits and hurts that they're addicted to. Negative thinking, destructive thoughts. There's no healing until it hurts. And this is the biggest reason a lot of people will not embrace the truth. 2 Corinthians 7:10. Godly sorrow brings repentance that leads to salvation and leaves no regret, but worldly sorrow brings death. Godly sorrow brings repentance that leads to salvation and leaves no regret. When we embrace Christ, when we go through that hurt, whether it's a lot or a little, we will not regret it. When we go to Christ and embrace the truth, we will not regret it. Verse 11, see what godly sorrow has produced in you, what earnestness, what eagerness to clear yourselves, what indignation, what alarm, what longing, what concern, what readiness to see justice done. At every point you have proved yourselves to be innocent in this manner. Because we are sorry for our sins, our attitude and our actions, God cleanses us. When you're sorry for your sins and you confess them to God, the darkness starts to fade. The sun starts to shine. The Word of God will cleanse us if we let it. And after it cleanses us, we know that we are free. See, that guilt and that grief that hurts you will turn into grace and gratitude, which will heal you. It makes you eager and earnest to know more of God and to love God. And see, brothers and sisters, this is what we need to do to set people free. We need to bring them the truth. You see that they're miserable. They're headed the wrong way. We want to set them free. Maybe you need to set yourself free. That means we don't fear the hurt, the embarrassment, and the shame. If you're hurting inside before you make that decision to trust in Christ, you know you're on the right track. Satan says, well, trust your feelings. Let the feelings tell you what to do. You have faith in the promise of God's Word. It means you're on the right track. You're going to feel bad before you feel better, but it's worth it. It's worth it to be free. The truth hurts, but it also brings healing. It brings freedom and hope. James 5:16. Therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous man is powerful and effective. See, our sins make us sick, and the more we hide them, the worse we get, the more miserable we will be. But when we confess our sins, we find forgiveness in God. But if we really want to be healed, the Scripture says we need to confess them to each other. That's why we have counseling. That's why we listen to each other's pains and problems. Yes, we confess them to God to find forgiveness of sin, but to truly find healing, we need to share them with each other. That's why, again, Alcoholics Anonymous, they get in a big circle and share. We need to confess them to each other to find healing. That's why spiritual counseling is so important. I'm ready to help you or anybody you know with spiritual counseling. Now, what does it mean to be healed? You know, when you want to be healed, you want to be cured of a problem. You got an illness, you got a pain or a problem, you want healing. Every winter for the last few years, I don't know what it is, but I get sick at least once a year. It's always in the winter. And when I get sick and I know it's hit me and it makes me feel bad, I want healing. Usually I go to the doctors, he gives me antibiotics, and the problem is fixed. The scriptures make clear that our problem is our sin, our guilt, our corruption. That is our problem. So therefore, we need to be healed of sin. We look at Hebrews 4:12. For the word of God is living and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing the soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. Nothing in all creation is hidden from God's sight. Everything is uncovered and laid bare before the eyes of Him to whom we must give an account. We must examine ourselves with the Word of God. The Word of God examines us. Imagine that this Bible, the Word of God, is a spiritual ultrasound. It's looking into our soul. It's looking and discovering the pain and problems. Today they use ultrasounds and MRIs and X-rays to see what's inside you to discover the problem so it can be removed. The same with God's Word. Oh, we got a bad attitude. We're not loving enough. We're not serving. What needs to be changed in our lives? The Scripture is like a double-edged sword. It's like a surgeon's scalpel. What does a surgeon use a scalpel for? To cut into you and to remove the tumor or the growth or the pain or the kidney stone that's in you. The surgeon's scalpel cuts into us in order to cure us. The truth of God's Word needs to cut into us. It hurts, but then it heals us. Scripture reveals, and then Scripture heals. Scripture reveals, and then Scripture heals. We need to share the Word of God with people to reveal who they are and what's going on. What needs to be removed from your life? You're here today. You know you're struggling. What needs to be removed from your life? What sinful attitudes and actions need to be taken out? And if they're taken out, if you're free and you're set free, you need to put something in your life to replace it. We put the Word of God in our heads and hearts to replace what God has removed. If you don't replace it with God's Word, those sinful actions and attitudes will just come back. Fill your head and heart with the Word of God. Psalm 119:105. Your Word is a lamp to my feet and a light for my path. I have taken an oath and confirmed it that I will follow your righteous laws. Your Word is a light to my feet, a light to my path. I want to follow it. I want to embrace it. I want to believe in it. I want to commit my life to follow the Word of God. A lot of reasons why Christians struggle today is they don't really believe in God's Word. Because they don't believe it, they are not committed to it. I read a story about Billy Graham, and Billy Graham is known as a giant of faith. But after he started his preaching ministry and serving, he began to have doubts about God's Word. Isn't that amazing? He had doubts and he was troubled and he really wrestled with it. And he struggled with it in his 20s. Was it really God's Word? Is this something I should be really preaching? You know, and like all of us, I think he did the same mistake we did. He was waiting for a feeling to confirm the truth of God's Word. He was just looking for some feeling. You know, oh, I feel good. There must be God's Word. But we don't rely on that. We rely on our faith in the truth of God's Word. And as I listen to the story, I'm like, well, what did he do? Well, he realized that he loved the Word and it helped people. And he made a decision that he was going to be committed to the Word of God, even though he had some little doubts and little reservations. He was committed. He would commit to preach the Word of God. And after he made that commitment, and after he started preaching even more, he saw the fruit of God using him, using his Word to transform lives. And that just turned into deep conviction. I mean, he made that commitment. I committed to marrying my wife before I really knew anything about her. I mean, we only dated for 6 months and got married. But I knew enough about her to make that commitment to her, that I would love and cherish her. And that commitment has borne out through this whole life of mine because I took a step of faith into deep conviction that, yes, she is the one that God chose for me. Are you committed to God's Word? Are you ready to live your life by it, to help transform other lives? When you make that step of faith, God, I believe in your Word, all the way to heaven, God will bring and empower your life. He'll bring great things for you. When you see people's lives change by the Word of God. When you know that people are going to heaven because you shared the truth. Brothers and sisters in Christ, do you need to change? Is there something that needs to change? Do you need to admit that you have a problem, an attitude problem? Maybe there's a hurt in your life in the past that's holding on to you. Maybe there's a habit or hang up that you can't shake. What do you need to let go of? The Scripture reveals it, and then it will heal you if you let it. Maybe you're here today and you're not a Christian. Isn't it time to accept the truth that Jesus Christ died on the cross for your sins and rose from the dead? Won't you believe and trust in Him today? Make a commitment. Lord Jesus, I'm going to follow You. Don't wait for a feeling. Have faith. Take a step of faith. Commit your life to Christ. You will not reject it. When you follow Christ and you embrace His Word, you will form a deep conviction for Christ that will lead to serving Him in glorious ways. What needs to change today? What do you need to start believing in? What do you need to reject? Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we just thank You for Your Word, the truth that You've given us, and we thank You for its power to reveal our sin, and then also to heal us of our sin, to reveal our hurts, and then comfort us in our hurts, to reveal our hang-ups, and then cut them loose so we can let them go. Father, is someone here today, are they believing a lie that causes them to really hurt their lives? That they can't walk with You, they can't function the way they're supposed to. I pray, Father, that they will submit themselves to You and Your Word and rebuke this lie, that it will leave their lives so they can be free. Father, we know day by day we have to walk with You and walk with You every day in the truth. It's not just a one-time thing, but we do need to make an initial commitment to believe and trust in You. Father, there's someone here today who needs to say, yes, I want to accept the truth of Christ in my life and follow Him to heaven. If that person's here today, I pray that they will trust in You. So we continue to worship You, Father, and Your Word, for it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We're going to sing our invitation song. I invite you to stand, and if I can pray with you or encourage you in any way, please come forward.